in here.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm ready whenever you are.
Alrighty. Oh, I'm John. For anyone who doesn't know my name.
I'm Indigo.
Hi, I'm Libby.
I'm Willow.
Rob.
Scott.
James.
It's like the first day of kindergarten.
Somebody needs to cry for their mom then.
Oh, I do it every night. But I do it into my pillow, so we're alright.
Do you need this?
Later there's milk and cookies.
I already put it on there.
Huh?
Later there's milk and cookies.
Oh, good.
Really?
What about punch and pop?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and start, John.
Okay, so, etiquette is the subject of tonight's discussion. More specifically, the developments of etiquette into the near future. I'm not going to look terribly too far into the future because I do not have those amazing superpowers. If any of you do, I would like winning lotto numbers for next week. Now, etiquette can widely be defined as a collection of social mores that are typically limited to a certain social class and as such are incredibly extemporaneous. They have a defined place and a defined time where these rules apply. If you look back throughout the history, etiquette has developed almost exclusively in a situation where there is an increasing divide between two social classes. For instance, if we take a look at the Victorian era, the divide between the lower class and the upper class was growing increasingly difficult to manage just on a social contract level, and so typically the upper class began to codify a series of behavioral norms. These behavioral norms have lived on to everything from tipping your hat when you're walking by someone to obscure things like gentlemen walking on the right of a lady. The reason for this is because when a coach would come by, it would frequently splatter people with feces. Ah, Victoriana. It's such a wonderful time. So, if we go back even further, you can take a look at how technology has time and time again spurred these advances, these social divides. The rise of the merchant class in the late and early Renaissance created a newfound source of wealth, which also incidentally drove a huge amount of street violence. The medieval Renaissance was violent on a scale most of us would have a very hard time understanding. And because of that intense violence and because of that huge divide in social rules, some very obscure and strange rituals really became instated. And we can go back even farther. There is actually Egyptian texts telling the gentry of Egypt exactly how to properly greet another gentleman or gentlewoman in the Egyptian court. But time and time again, we see a very similar series of events arising. Technology shows up, a growing cultural divide between the haves and the have-nots, and the haves, either as a form of self-defense or as a way to place themselves apart from those that they really have very little in common with, develop often very stifling and really strange rules of etiquette. Now, the interesting part is not so much what the rich are doing with their etiquette rules. What becomes interesting is what happens after the social divide is resolved, because those etiquette rules have a tendency to trickle down. That is how we get Miss Manners writing things in 1950s newspaper articles on the importance of table placement when you're having dinner. What we're really having is what is the classical bourgeoisie co-opting of the wealthy's habits. And it's, again, this has happened time and time again. And it is usually a source of much disgrace and anger with the upper classes. Now, the lower class also have their own set of etiquette, but the lower class's etiquette is based on a very different set of rules, rather than a set of rules to divide behaviors. It frequently develops out of very common sense needs for survival. For example,
hi. Thanks. Okay, please enjoy.
For example, if you walk down, say, late 1980s Compton with your hands in your pockets, expect to get some very, very dirty looks, or possibly get shot. The reason for this, it seems very strange. People will perceive it as being very disrespectful, being very rude, not following the rules of etiquette. The reason for this is actually very common sense. If you have your hands in your pocket, you might have a gun. If you have your hands out, you're displaying that you aren't ready to pull a weapon. And this goes through all of the social strata, but particularly in the lower classes is when it gets really interesting and strange, and to middle class and upper middle class people who don't live with those survival threats, the rules of etiquette seem very brutal and strange, but there is a reason they exist. I could go on at length, for instance, with other bits of gangster lore. For instance, the famous disrespecting someone is very important, because when you have nothing other than your reputation to provide safety and stability to your life, someone impinging on that reputation is a direct threat to your life and your well-being and your property.
How is that any different from anybody who participates in either the bourgeoisie or the upper class?
Well, there is a directness.
It's still survivalism.
Well, it's to a degree, but if you take a look at, for instance, someone who feels that someone cutting them off in traffic is impinging on their social welfare in their SUV, there is no direct causal relationship. They have the perception, I agree, there's definitely the perception that someone is impinging on their survival, and that viewpoint is the cause of much assholeness in society, but no one is probably no one is going to directly shoot them and take their stuff.
Well, I would argue that your social reputation is just as important as your physical life for a lot of people, and that definitely leads into internet existence. All you have is your reputation, because if you're going to assume that a bunch of people are in a chat room, all of the people in the chat room have obviously a computer and internet access and access to the chat room, and those are the physical things that you
right.
have, and so all you have to base your reputation or existence on is your the way that you behave and how people treat you and your past behaviors and whatnot. And so I would disagree and say that it is all about survival, and whether that's physical survival, like gun to the head survival, or you're not allowed here anymore survival. I mean, okay, so there's a difference there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that is absolutely right, and in many cases, for people who have their base survival needs met, social survival is the key. That determines whether you're going to have the job you want, whether you're going to have the friends you want, whether you're going to know the people you want to know, so on and so forth and so on.
I think etiquette operates at which in the kind of, you know, pyramid of needs that you have, that you spend your most of your time trying to fulfill. If you're spending all your time trying to get food and water, then etiquette leaches into there, because that's where you spend all of your time. You spend
yeah.
all your time going to boardroom meetings and coffee shops and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to anyone in those situations, it's equally as important, because no one wants to drop down on that pyramid of needs. Backsliding is a very bad situation. But, which sort of leads me to this question. I think that our current culture is at the cusp of a turning point. We have not yet really figured out... Oh, Philip, please don't let your computer set.
I'm not going to. Keep going. It's okay.
Okay. Well, I not to get completely off topic, but I don't think we've really figured out exactly how to handle all of the new class divisions that are showing up. And those class divisions are, sometimes it seems like they're evaporating completely, and other times it just seems like they're just reshuffling themselves into the do's and the do-nots.
I wonder what the... You were talking about how it's often written what etiquette is followed. I mean, you have Miss Manners, you have books for the... how you treat a lady, stuff mm-hmm. like that. Do you think that we're amassing that sort of thing just through dialogue, or do you think there's places where we're actually being explicit about what's expected and what's not online?
As far as
our technology?
I think that there are a few places where the rules of behavior are very explicit. But for the most part, it seems to be a group agreement. What you can get away with on 4chan is not what you can get away with on, well, anywhere else in the world, ever, anywhere. But, I mean, that once again, that's because etiquette is extemporaneous. It's always linked intrinsically to a time and a place.
I think it's still kind of solidifying. I think a lot of the, like, descriptive like treatises or whatever that come late is have, like, those come after there's been some establishment of an etiquette for a while,
mm-hmm.
you know, and with things like cell phone etiquette.
Yeah, and how they have a sign now at a lot of counters. So
yeah,
you can step away if you're on your
cell phones have been around long enough. I'm starting to see some like congealing of like standard etiquette
mm-hmm.
that's like, you know, at least like region wide or major urban center wide, whatever.
Well, it's usually always very fluid and very situational, so that, you know, one coffee shop is different from another coffee shop, and, you know, like you're saying on 4chan, it's completely different than if you're on a Wikipedia
mm-hmm.
discussion group.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, my question being, what causes these shifts in etiquette? I mean, on the to be obvious, there's some sort of social friction going on. Some people are on their cell phones and it's annoying other people. But is there a way to predict what these friction points are to see where they're coming ahead and try and smooth the ground before people get irritated? Or is that something that is basically unpredictable because it is based on times and places?
I think if you try to anticipate it and put in rules before it happens, then you're telling people what they can and cannot do, and that would cause friction in and of itself. So it's something that has to be reactive instead of proactive.
I think part of it is easing the people who are not used to a new ability and still adhering to some of those social situations. Like, you don't answer your phone while you're sitting at the table with a group of people. You just don't do it, because if your landline rang and you were sitting at the dinner table and it was within reach, you wouldn't reach over and grab it and answer it. It's considered acceptable to go in the next room. It's just like having a sidebar conversation with someone. If you need to have a one-on-one conversation, which is what a phone conversation defaults to because it's only between you and one other person, because the other people in your locality at that moment, is that the right word? Locality at that moment? Anyway, because they cannot participate, it's considered rude to only give them one part of it. It's become more socially acceptable to read a text message. It's still not to respond to it.
Right.
Because you're taking away from the attention that goes, that's expected. And so I think the etiquette that's forming, I hope, will still prioritize face-to-face interaction.
Right.
Or at least, I think a lot of the disparity just comes from not treating them on equal ground. Like, when my mom got a cell phone, I was like, so when you have, like, treat this as if when a person's calling you, that person just walked up to you. you know? So, I mean, if you're having a conversation and some person just walks up, you wouldn't just kind of let them keep talking and turn away and just start talking to them, you know?
Yeah.
Texting them, like, do them one at a time and treat them, like, on equal footing.
Yeah. And on another just sort of related note, I had to teach my mom cell phone etiquette as far as calling because she was under the impression that it was like a landline. Well, if I didn't get a hold of you the first time, I'm going to just keep calling until I get a hold of you. It's like, if you call me three times in a row, I assume it is a life and death emergency. I will drop whatever I am doing in order to answer it or to call you back. Once, I'll get to you when I can. Twice, I'll wrap it up kind of fast. But if you call three times in a row, shit better be bad. Something better be on fire.
Someone better be bleeding out and need your help right now.
Yeah. And so even that was... because it was affecting the way that I dealt with the people I was face-to-face with at that moment, I think that's where that etiquette comes from. So what's interesting to me is that the etiquette that we're coming up with seems to prioritize people in meat space over people over the ethers.
Right. That's an interesting point because we've actually had some discussions here where we can't really seem to be... There's no consensus right now where one is going to end and the other begins on a... I mean, obviously, if you're looking someone in the eye, that's different. But in the near future, and we're not talking 10 years out, that distinction may quickly become more difficult to make. If you're having a conversation with someone's fully reactive avatar that is... mimicking their facial expressions perfectly, you instinctively really can't tell the difference on an emotional level between that and someone walking up to you. Then you're kind of stuck with a dilemma of, oh God, who's taking priority right now? The conversation I'm having with someone on the phone or the person who's actually in the room? If we take a look at past history, it seems it'll lean towards if someone walks into a room, at the very least you greet them and tell them to take a seat. I can actually envision Thomas Edison being annoyed with his assistants making phone calls on the office hour with the one phone in existence.
One thing that myself and a number of people in like my circle of friends that has started becoming my, you know, sub community of friend circles or whatever, has started becoming commonplace is like with you're in a group situation and someone who is familiar with most of the people in the group calls to answer it on speakerphone.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, so everybody's, because the main reason it's rude is because you're stepping out of the situation, you're having your own little secret conversation over here, nobody else is part of it, and they're just kind of stuck in limbo. But it kind of, all of a sudden, everybody's participating in it, even if you're the only one talking, you know, you're like, hey, you're on speakerphone, until they're not okay with that, and then everybody else is part of, like, the interaction.
That's really interesting. I've never actually heard of
that. Or repeating text messages out loud and having people say, oh, well, this is what I think about this, and texting for them, like Willow says, you know, and then it's sort of, like, not as rude.
Nobody can hear what you're saying.
I really like it when I text Libby something and Nathan replies to it because she said something to him.
And my hands are full.
Just so you know, my battery is dying and my cord is sucking, so we're going to have to switch off the audio here in a minute. But I'll switch over to written notes. So you're aware of what's going on.
Good to know. All right, so if you close the book, it's not just because I'm being boring.
Right.
Got it.
God damn it.
I flip over table in anger and storm out.
Exactly.
Good deal. Don't give
I
her any ideas.
I have a much better taser in my bag.
Nice.
It's okay. Oh, anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm getting teased tonight, aren't I?
It's okay. I'll set it to pulse.
So,
we'll be fine.
Just walk it off.
Yeah.
So, another interesting thing about etiquette is how it smooths or attempts to smooth the interactions between social classes, between social groups. One of the biggest jobs that an anthropologist has when they're showing up at some remote tribe's meet is learning all of the social rules, learning the etiquette. So my question is, because it seems to me like there are, while there are some general consensuses going on, that the rules of etiquette are actually getting much more codified depending on the circle that you move in. As previous mentioned, you can get away with stuff on 4chan that no sane, rational human being would ever allow any other human being to do face-to-face. Likewise, you can get away with things in certain bars that you can't in other bars. You can say things with one group of friends that you would never be allowed to get away with saying with another group of friends. How do you think you manage the interactions between these groups? Is there friction when they hit, or is it typically everyone quickly agrees on a set of rules and principles?
I think people usually go to a lowest common denominator when they're overlapping their groups. I mean, if I introduce Libby to my parents, she's not going to tell them the same raunchy jokes that she tells me, at least until she's figured out that
they're... Until your dad has had a few.
Yes.
And it's on.
In which case, it's okay. But, I mean, I think a lot of that will just have to do with people realizing that each situation in each group is different and paying attention and maybe not starting to talk right away, but studying the situation first.
Interesting. I kind of want to take this a little further into the future here. What happens to the rules of etiquette when the social classes are